The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey. So hello and welcome to episode 51. I'm Jen, and I'm so glad that you took time out of your day to join me. Welcome to you, whether it's your first time listening or you're a longtime listener. I'm really, really thankful that you're here, and I hope that I can share something useful or encouraging to you. Today, we are going to be talking about homeschooling and military life. But before we get to that, just a reminder, you can access the complete show archive of all past episodes at millspousematters.com. Just click the podcast tab and listen to all the past episodes, find show notes, any resources I mentioned, all the links to that will be there, along with easy buttons to subscribe in whatever podcast player you're using. And of course, wherever you're listening, I would absolutely love it if you subscribed and left a 5-star review. And thank you so much for all your reviews and notes. I truly, truly appreciate them. So I had a listener question come up recently about homeschooling. I'll read that in a minute. And also have heard from other people that they would like to hear an episode about homeschooling and military life. I know right now a lot of you are temporarily homeschooling or overseeing virtual schooling, and I have done a couple of episodes about that. One of them was recent, episode 47. It's back to school for military kids during COVID-19 with a lot of tips for virtual schooling and homeschooling from the ladies from the Seasons of My Military Student book and website. And then I did another one, episode 36, which was about temporary homeschooling during the coronavirus quarantine. And those were tips from Claire Wood about how to make homeschooling work if you've never done it before, and some of her resources and tips. So those are definitely geared towards if you're homeschooling and you don't plan to keep homeschooling, and maybe even if perhaps you're curious about it. We talked a little bit about that, but that's not really what the gist of those episodes were. So those were more about like managing expectations and how to stay flexible and, you know, with the thought that you're going to be returning to school at some point. But today what I'm talking about is actually making the decision to homeschool. So a little background about me that you may not know. You know, all of my kids are grown, but we did homeschool for over a couple of decades. And we made the decision back in the mid-90s when our oldest son was about 3. And that's not something that you could have ever told me would be my future or that I would continue doing it until all of my kids had graduated. And we do have 4 children. They all homeschooled. We did charter schools, we did dual enrollment, we did lots of different iterations of homeschooling, which I'll talk about in a minute, but we did basically do homeschooling from the mid-90s until our youngest graduated 4 years ago. Gosh, that makes me sound old. She's 22 now. And so my background was as a mom that was kind of brought into homeschooling maybe a little reluctantly. When our oldest son was about 2 years old, we met a family at church that had 5 kids. And the funny thing is we were at church and they had come in and sat behind us. And I didn't even know that there were there were five little kids behind us the whole service. They were so well behaved. And so we turned around and met this couple, and we ended up being in the same Bible study with them and just kind of observed their family and the closeness, and just their family dynamic was very appealing to me because they were very close. They were ended up being a homeschooling family. And I think that just planted the seed. So when our oldest son was turning three, I believe we just felt like, you know, homeschooling had obviously been a part of what created their family dynamic, and we wanted that for our own family. So by that point, we already had another child, and then I had a baby on the way. We had four kids in about 8 years, and we thought, let's just give this a try. So we did. And the reasons we started were the neighborhood we were living in, the public school wasn't great. That wasn't really an option for us. And private school was just out of our reach financially. And we thought, we had met this other family and thought, wow, it looks so great, and let's give it a try. And we kind of just grew into that lifestyle. It really did become a lifestyle for us. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But also over the years, I did end up going on to write quite a lot about our homeschooling journey. I ended up being the managing editor for one of the largest homeschooling magazines in the country, Home Educating Family, which I believe is just called Family Magazine now. I did some writing for Rosetta Stone Language Company describing our homeschooling experience. I've written quite a lot about it, and I will definitely link to some of those places so that you can learn more about our background if you want. And we just grew into it. It became a part of our life and was such an amazing part of our life. And I actually miss it now. And they've all gone on to college and careers and are doing great. And it really worked out wonderfully for us. So I thought I would share a little bit. One of my listeners, Amber, reached out and sent me a note on Instagram, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. And she said, "Hey, Jen, I'm a male spouse of about 16 years, and we've just moved for the, I don't know, 13th or 14th time. Anyway, I found your podcast on a particularly trying and frustrating day. I literally Googled encouraging Christian military spouse." Love that. "I found your podcast, ordered your book, and have been so grateful for your wisdom and heart for ladies trying to do their best in this military lifestyle. I also have four kids whom we homeschool. I found myself getting a bit discouraged listening to some of the wonderful but just living different lives than me homeschool podcasts. I won't name them. They are encouraging, though rather idealistic. I have been thinking of reaching out to you quite a few times as we've moved into the high school years with my oldest and middle school with the second born. I love the elementary years, and I'm grateful my girls are still there. I don't know any parents in my actual life who've continued homeschooling into high school. I will point you to an article I've written about homeschooling during high school." And she says, "I know all journeys are different, but I would love to hear a podcast about this specifically. If you have time, I know trusting God is the first step, and I know we've been called to homeschool, but seeing someone ahead of me on the path would be, I think, so helpful." And she went on a little bit about their curriculum. So thank you, Amber, for that note, and to other listeners who've reached out and wanted to hear more about homeschooling. And so I'm going to do my best to talk about a little bit of our journey and give you some tips. Of course, there's literally no way I can cover all of everything that I could share with you in this short podcast, but I'm going to do my best to point you in the right direction. So quite honestly, if you had told me before we started that I would not only homeschool our four children, but keep at it for years and years, I would have fled. The only homeschooling families I had run across, you know, in my growing up years were a little different until I started to meet some other folks as an adult. And so I definitely had some, what I would say, perceptions about homeschooling, but here we are. So the combination of our oldest learning to read, the desire for a faith-based education, like I mentioned, led us to consider this a real option. And so we did. We decided to try it for 1 year. And it wasn't always easy. There are always going to be challenges, but we found that the flexibility of homeschooling really fit into our military life so seamlessly. It just fit right in. And as more children came along and the moves more frequent, we kept at it. The one thing that remained stable was the continuity of our kids' education. And that really became an important factor. The reasons we started were not necessarily the reasons we kept at it. There were benefits that came along that we could not have imagined. We didn't have to worry about school districts or locations. when we were faced with a new assignment. We didn't have to worry about moving mid-year. If something came up, like we moved to Guam in January 1 year, and we didn't have to consider, you know, what were we going to do about the kids' education? We just packed it up and brought it with us. And so let me just give you one disclaimer. I am not a homeschooling purist who thinks that's the only way to educate your kids or it's the best decision for every family, because it is not. I have known families that probably should not homeschool. It's just not a good fit for whatever reason. But if I look back over the years, I do know that it was the right choice for us. And as we've been stationed across the world, it took on all kinds of different forms: co-ops, charter schools, dual enrollment, enrichment classes, all kinds of things. And I'm so thrilled that there are lots of educational choices and we can pick what works the best for our family. A benefit I didn't foresee was the freedom to vacation during the off season, or simply having the flexibility to take a break if my husband was on leave or came home for R&R during a deployment. So we'll talk about some of those things along with some common fears. So here are a few tips and some of my thoughts. If you are thinking about homeschooling or if you're even in the thick of it, I hope I can help you a little bit with today's episode. So my first tip is, number one, you and your spouse need to be in agreement about the homeschooling decision. If you're not, it is going to be a struggle, and homeschooling has enough challenges all on its own. Our thought was always to homeschool until we felt like God had told us differently, but we were definitely in agreement. So if one of you is really reluctant, maybe come to an agreement of, let's give it a try for a semester and then, you know, assess it from there. But if one of you really feels strongly that you should not do it, I think that you can still be a great parent and educate your kids and do something different. So I would always say you need to be in unity about this decision, because it is a big life-changing decision. Another tip is, my philosophy is, don't try to recreate, quote, school at home. Don't let your curriculum rule your life. It should fit into your life and not the other way around. That can become very frustrating for parents and kids if you're trying to force your at-home life into what you think school should look like. So for instance, you can combine age groups and do some studies together. You can cover science together and tailor it to the ages of different kids and still all just be on the same topic. So you're not always off in different directions. You know, as far as what I just said about don't let curriculum rule your life, well, there are things you have to get done in a given day. Like, you have to go ahead and do your math. You have to learn English. You have to, you know, complete requirements for whatever state you're living in. So if you have a child that's reluctant about that, I always would say, you know, if this is not your favorite subject, it's like your learning vitamin. Like, just get it done with. Just take your vitamin, get it over with. Don't put it off all day. Get it finished, and then you can move on to a subject you really enjoy or having free time or whatever. And school can really look like something very different than what maybe you even grew up with. One of the best ways we learned together and memories that we've made and cried together and laughed together was our read aloud time. I read aloud until my kids graduated. Even when it was just my youngest daughter, we had books we read together out loud, and she would either, you know, whatever the kids were doing, if they're playing Legos or just listening quietly or drawing, we always had a book that we were working on. We've covered all kinds of issues, civil rights and history and, you know, faith issues, just by virtue of the fact of reading aloud together and discussing them. And I'll point to some resources at the end, but one of my favorite curriculum or overviews was Sunlight Curriculum. Even if you don't use their curriculum guides, if you take a look at Sunlight, S-O-N, Light, they have great lists of books to read. And I can also share some other book lists that I think are important books to read at certain ages. When my children were young and their dad was deployed, the bedtime routine could become something of a struggle, to say the least. Does your child also have separation anxiety, fears from moving, stress over deployments, nightmares, or trouble sleeping alone? This award-winning product can help. It's called the Magical Order of Brave Knights, and it was designed to help children cope with fear. It was created by a school psychologist who's also a military spouse. She came up with this product during one of her husband's deployments in order to help her own son, who was struggling to adjust to life without his daddy. The Brave Knights kit comes with three unique products: the storybook that highlights themes of love, friendship, and courage, and tells the tale of the brave knights. Next is the sweet, lovable teddy bear, Sir William the Brave Knight. Each night, children tell Sir William their fears and worries, giving up that burden to their brave knight so they sleep soundly while he stays on guard to protect them. The last and most magical part of the kit is a projecting flashlight that shines 8 images under the beds, in the closet, or on the walls to clear their room of anything that once scared them. I wish I would have had this when my own kids were young. The Brave Knights kit has won 3 prestigious awards, the 2020 Product of the Year Award for Fear and Anxiety from the Creative Child magazine, the Mom's Choice Gold Level Award, and the Tilly Wig Parents' Choice Award. Sir William the Brave Knight was designed to reduce bedtime stress and make the nightly routine enjoyable for parent and child. He also teaches children how to overcome their fears and encourages self-confidence. He'll be your child's new forever friend. You'll be interested to know that the company is veteran and military spouse owned, and they give a portion of all their sales to the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation to help military families out when they need it most. Get a Brave Knights kit for your little prince or princess at their website, magicalorderofbravenights.com, or on Amazon. There's a coupon code for 15% off on their website, and it's simply all caps, Sir William. Sweet dreams are just a click away. So tip number 3 would be embrace the flexibility of homeschooling. Remember that what works for one child might not work for another, and that's the beauty of it. And even that same child later on. Like, what's working right now? Take an assessment every year, see what's working, change it up. You have that ability. So like I mentioned, we did different things. Like, we were in a charter program where the kids went to school one day a week and we did the rest at home. We've done where they were dual enrolled. My oldest son, when he was in high school, in order to play baseball, he did their program. He still did school at home, but it was overseen by that school for that year. And it was a good experience for us both because he got to be accountable to somebody else. And I had that load taken off of me when his 3 younger siblings were still in school. We've done homeschooling groups. We've done extra classes. One of the reasons we loved homeschooling was the flexibility that we could have with what else was going on in our lives. I would just give one disclaimer here. Like, if you decide to enroll in a program, make sure, like I said, with the curriculum, make sure it fits into your life. There are some that can be a little overbearing. I'm not going to list anybody, you know, any types of programs or, you know, types of learning. To me, I never wanted to be under something like that because I felt like one of the benefits of homeschooling was that we could decide our schedule, and I didn't really love having our schedule decided for us, other than in the short term, like I mentioned, some of the other things that we did. I asked my youngest daughter what she loved most about homeschooling. And keep in mind, she's a college student. She's age 22. And she said she loved knowing that if she finished her school early, she had the rest of the day for her hobbies or to do what she wanted. And she was very driven to do that. I've had kids finish a course early, like they finished like a geometry course in 3 months versus a semester. On the flip side, if you have a child that needs extra time, you have it. And you can let things take as much time as they need, let them really learn. And if they have learning difficulties or even a difficult year, that is okay if you're thinking long term. We've definitely had those kinds of years. Our family has been through over a dozen different military assignments and several extended deployments during my kids' growing up years. And as my husband's career progressed, so did the moves. Our oldest moved 3 times during his high school years. And our youngest moved so often that living in the same place for 2 years seemed like a long time to her. So for us, homeschooling helped us have the flexibility to PCS at any time without disrupting their education. When we moved overseas and lived out of suitcases, we were able to carry on with online school, or we'd put books in their backpacks, or we would send them on ahead, which they loved, knowing that there was a box of books waiting for them, not always. But when everything else was changing, education was a constant. Honestly, looking back over the years and my husband's work and deployment schedule, I know that my children wouldn't have had the relationship they enjoyed with him if we hadn't homeschooled. Because when he was off, we could be off. You know, when he was not away for duty, he could come home for lunch at times and they'd drop everything and play chess with him or bocce ball or jump on the trampoline or just have lunch with him and talk. So that flexibility was something that we just grew to really protect. Honestly, it was just a big part of our lives. It fit very much into our lifestyle. Even though I'm telling you to be flexible, just remember that it is also a commitment. Give it time. Especially if you've recently left the school environment, there will be some growing pains. You need to just let everybody settle in, take a break. You may need to have more days where you're reading library books and, you know, just a schedule that you might not recognize from school, and that's okay. But I kind of give it like the divorce analogy. If every time you get into a fight with your spouse, you're threatening divorce, that is a bad sign. It is not going to go well. If you've decided to homeschool, give it time. Don't always be threatening to send them back to school because that creates a layer of insecurity for your kids. Just make the commitment this semester, this year, we're doing it, and we're not going to talk about whether or not we're going to keep doing it until we get past that. So that just takes away the decision. And I think, you know, I don't know that a lot of people are doing that, but I've seen it enough where every week they're threatening to send their kids to school or back to school. And that's just not a great environment. So give it some time. It's a commitment. Along with that, don't compare. You can always learn from other people, but don't compare your journey to other people's journey. When I lived in the DC area on Bowling Air Force Base, I came across a lot of young homeschool moms. This is back a few years ago. And we had a great homeschooling group. But one of the things we ended up doing was they'd ask me a lot of questions. And I finally said, hey, let's just get together for coffee. There's a Starbucks on base. Let's get together. And it ended up being something we called mentoring moms. We would meet every Friday and whoever could come would come. And sometimes we'd have 20 people there. And so it was like beyond me. So I asked a couple of other ladies that had homeschooled for quite a while to come and help me answer some questions. But one of the things that always comes up is comparing your journey, your child to other people's children. People are worried that if they homeschool, how are their kids going to make friends? Will they become weird? Well, maybe. But that has more to do with personality than schooling choices. There's plenty of weird kids that go to public school, that go to private school. I don't mean to sound flip, but homeschooling is not rare anymore. There are so many opportunities. And if you need to get out there and your child needs more interaction, you can do that. And if not, you don't have to. You know, it's like the whole thing. Keep your eyes on your own work. Whatever God has put in front of you to do, they're your kids. They're yours for a reason. Don't compare your journey to somebody else's. Now, I'm going to talk about a couple of the common misconceptions as I'm wrapping up here. Is it legal? So homeschooling is legal in all 50 states, but every state has its own laws. So just make sure to check with the law in the state you're stationed, not your home of record. That's not how it works. If you're living overseas, you don't usually have to worry about that country's educational laws because you will fall under the SOFA, the Status of Forces Agreements. So for instance, homeschooling, when we lived there in Germany, it was illegal, but that did not apply to us because we were U.S. military stationed there. So there are two organizations I'm going to point you to. One is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and one is the Center for Homeschool Liberty. And they can provide you more legal information and help you kind of navigate that. Usually you can find out the homeschooling laws on the state's website or school websites for the area you're moving. We talked a little bit about socialization. Another common fear is having the patience for it. And so people say, I'm not patient enough to homeschool. Well, I'm not either. So if you're under the assumption that being a homeschooling parent requires for you to be perfect, you need to drop that. So one thing that is true is that your kids are going to see you day in and day out. All of your foibles, it's taught me a lot of humility and also apologizing if I need to. But if there are subjects you feel like you can't teach, there's so many resources, or you can enroll them in a class. You don't have to teach them everything. Another fear is you're not qualified to teach fill in the blank. Don't let that stop you. I think, especially right now with COVID, one thing we've all learned is that there's so much we can do remotely or on our own more than ever. I feel like this might not even be a fear anymore because we've come so far with online learning and outsourcing lots of things like algebra. Another fear is, you know, if you're wanting to homeschool and you think that maybe you can't because you're a working parent. Well, again, we're in the middle of a lot of families juggling working from home and also homeschooling. I've known families that both parents worked outside the home and they still could homeschool. They just figured out their schedules. I started working from home before all of my children were graduated, and we just juggled, and we even juggled outside volunteering and all the activities, and we just made it work. It can be done if you want to do it. I would get up really early and work really early, or I'd work really late. And thankfully, I had the flexibility to do that. Another fear is being prepared for college. And I will give this a resounding yes. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, everybody that homeschools your kid's going to go to Harvard. That's not always true. But our own children, they won scholarships. They have gone off to college. One went into the military. Some went to college at home. So we've done all sorts of things, and they've all adapted well. So there's so much evidence that home education really does prepare students for the independent study skills you need for the college environment. And I will point you to a really good study by Dr. Jay Weil, who is a brilliant scientist and also a homeschooling instructor. So I hope that helps a little bit. Some common issues if you have an athlete, I've written an article about that because we did do competitive baseball, and our son played for the DoD school in Germany while we homeschooled still. He played for a school in California. And what we ended up having to do there was the school district we lived in would not work with us. And we wanted to continue homeschooling. So we ended up transferring him to a neighboring county that would work with us. And he played on one of the best teams in the state. So that actually worked out to our benefit. And I kind of was like, well, you don't even know what you missed. But we jumped through a lot of hoops to make that happen. That's what parents do. But I feel like if there's a will, there's a way. So AP classes, if that's a concern of yours, you can take AP classes. It's the testing that's going to be the issue, you know, taking the exams. So many schools will offer AP exams for homeschooled students or for, you know, students whose schools don't offer AP. So you would need to go to the apcentral.collegeboard.org site, and I will link to that. But that is not a deal breaker. Absolutely. There's lots of guidelines in place for homeschooling students that are taking AP exams, if that's something that you're a concern of yours. Oh, I was going to add one more thing. So the funny thing is, after all the years of homeschooling, when my youngest daughter was coming close to graduation, we had just moved to Virginia, and she decided she wanted to have a graduation ceremony and walk to receive her diploma. And so we ended up looking around, and we found a program where she could go. I think you had to attend once a week, and it was a homeschooling group, and she had to go to their classes, and then she was eligible to get her diploma and graduate with them and have the whole, you know, spiel, the whole graduation ceremony. So by this point, I was working pretty much almost full time from home. She was very independent. And that was the other thing I was going to add. I just feel like there's so many things I could talk about here. Homeschooling high school is really fun. They get really independent and kind of take charge of their learning, and you're more of a coach. So I think I'll have to do a different episode or just send you to other resources about that. But I could literally talk about this for a long time. But anyway, back to my daughter. I went to enroll her, and I thought, you know, a lot of times they want you to volunteer. And I was like, surely I can just write a check or give them some money and they'll let her come. Oh, no, I had to volunteer. I had to go in and teach every Monday for 2 hours to little first graders just to have my volunteer time filled so that she was eligible to be enrolled. And I remember telling her, I was like, you know, I have to love you if I'm going to do this after 20 whatever years. And I'm still having to go teach at a co-op when I'm kind of removed from that age. So, you know, we always were just trying to make it be about them. My husband had a saying, he always said, we don't homeschool to close doors for our kids, we homeschool to open them. And in the point where that's closing doors for them that we want opened, then that's when it's not for us anymore. And we never did hit that point, because I feel like, you know, the world is a very different place than it was when we started. There are so many more opportunities. So I hope that if you're thinking of homeschooling, you'll give it a try, especially right now. There are lots of resources. I say simple is best. Like I said, I'm not really up on the latest and greatest curriculum. I will link to a few places that are old standbys that I used for years and years and years that still exist. One is called Timberdoodle. They have curriculum kits, but they also have all sorts of science kits, hands-on types of resources. I'm a big believer in hands-on learning and having it be practical and real, and lots of good books. Hewitt Homeschooling is another one, and they have a course called, that I really enjoyed with my kids, called Lightning Literature. I would say literature-based was definitely our method. We liked using real books, real learning. We were the people that would go to the library and check out 40 books at a time. You know, that just really worked for us. And then hands-on types of things. Sunlight Curriculum, I mentioned, they have curriculum kits as well as you can just buy books from them. Teaching Textbooks Math, highly, highly recommend. That was a game changer for us. It is online. Back when we did it, it was a CD that they popped in and every lesson would just come up and teach it to them. And they had their book. And I believe it starts at grade 3, but goes all the way up through pre-cal. And we did all the levels. Really loved Teaching Textbooks and great preparation. We used Rosetta Stone for foreign language. Abeka is a good one if you want a Christian curriculum. It's very colorful. My big caution with Abeka is it can be a little bit of overkill with worksheets. So pick and choose. You don't have to use all of it. My kids really enjoyed their science books, and I also like their phonics and language books. Calvert School is a non-sectarian curriculum supplier. I did use Calvert School pre-K and kindergarten with my youngest. She loved it. We lived in Guam at that point, and everything came in one big box, like all their supplies, crayons and everything. And they have a teacher's manual that literally tells you everything to say. So Calvert School, very good. Also, one of my very favorite curricula was called Five in a Row. They are still around. And that is, I believe they go up through elementary, but it's based, Five in a Row is you read the same book. It's based on picture books. You read the book, and then every day you take a different lesson out of it. It's like one day it's language arts, one day it's science, and it's all very hands-on or discussion-based. And we absolutely loved Five in a Row. I still have them. I hope to pass them on to my grandchildren at some point. Two books I'd highly recommend are by Diana Waring, and the first one is called Beyond Survival. These are probably about 20 years old. And the second one is Reaping the Harvest. You can still get them. And I hit a point where I read them every summer to re-inspire myself, to remember why we were doing what we did, kind of remember about the lifestyle of learning that I had really wanted to pursue. And so she also has some history curriculum. She's very good. And I would totally encourage you to check her out. So I feel like I talked about a lot, and there's still so many things that I could have mentioned. Homeschooling and military life absolutely worked very well for us. I hope that if you're thinking about it, this encourages you, or you can pass it along to somebody else that might be thinking about it, even if you're not, that we've been there. But I can say with three of my kids now married, they've launched into careers and families of their own. I have a grandchild. I can really look back over the years as a military homeschooling family and really say that I have no regrets. And I'm so thankful that it's the path we chose to take. So wherever in the world this finds you, whatever you're doing with your own family, go forward with confidence and be encouraged today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to the MillSpouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on social media as @MillSpouseMatters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.